Vi ste uz SBS na srpskom.
SBS Radio in Serbian. My name is Biljana Ristić and in few next minutes we are bringing you an exclusive interview with Behruz Burčani. After translating his book No Friend But the Mountains in Serbian, Dr. Natasha Kampmark last week spoke to Behruz Burčani to learn more about the time he spent in offshore detention in Papua New Guinea before moving to New Zealand in 2019. His book No Friends But the Mountains has won a number of awards and has been translated in a number of languages. The Serbian version has been released in October. Here is the interview with Behruz Burčani.
Behruz, thank you for agreeing to do this interview and address your Serbian readers.
Yeah, thank you. It's my pleasure. Yeah, thank you for having me.
First, there are a lot of fascinating aspects of this book, and one of them is its genesis, the incredible way it came about. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, actually, I didn't want to write a novel. So just I wanted to write about that a real context. So the context is very real. And but in other way, I didn't want to just document it. I wanted to create some fiction around it, because that context actually that the Australia banished the refugees to a remote island and keep them in indefinite detention. That is very surreal. So that's why I try to really create my own language in this book, you know, my own aspect and perspective. I didn't want to write it completely as a fiction or in fiction. So just I wanted to mix that and write it in that way. So that's why in the book you see, you know, journalism language as well, or a layer of journalism. And also sometimes it's just I talk about philosophy, or sometimes I just talk about, you know, I just share my ideas and perspective generally. And also sometimes it's just fiction, or it's with literary language.
So you combined your journalistic background, your educations, and also your literary skills, and you gave us this wonderful book. Which obstacles did you have to face to get this book out of prison?
Do you mean that how was difficult?
Yes. Yeah. How did you write it, actually?
Yeah. So the process of writing was really difficult and very unusual, because I was writing on WhatsApp and just send it out. I didn't feel safe with the authorities. They could take my writing. I could lose my writing anytime. So that's why I was sending the text to Omid, the translator of the book, and Omid, then we put them together and became, but I myself has a powerful imagination about that, that these words were like birds, that they were flying to Australia and they get together and became a book. Yeah.
But they had the freedom.
Yeah.
So they managed to escape from prison, your book and your words.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, this book tells a harrowing story of violence, of humiliation and dehumanization. It contains your sharp insights about a range of oppressive systems that you describe there. But it is also full of poetry. It is full of beauty, especially and warmth and kindness, especially in your descriptions of some of the characters. Especially the gentle giants, for example. And it has a lot of warmth and beauty when you describe also the mountains of Kurdistan, the only friend to you. to Kurdish people. Kindness in this novel, even in this book, even emerges as a kind of resistance in the face of these brutalizing circumstances. Could that be one of the tools that helped you preserve your humanity, cope with the system, and survive, both psychologically and physically?
Yeah, definitely. I think in that system, to survive, I think the most strongest way is to be creative. And this creativity, it can be in different ways. Some people do writing, some people make fun, you know, some people make jokes, some people, you know, it's really different ways. So in that context, even kindness and showing kindness, it can be a tool against the system which is designed to dehumanize you. So, but in this book, I am not sure that I'm kind yet. So the readers should say that, but definitely there are some kindness and, you know, that sense of humor and sense of, you know, we are human beings. So the readers can see something in the book. Yeah.
Yes, as we said, there are many fascinating aspects in the way you manage to put humor in it and all the goodness of people in face of such oppressive systems, really, credit to your writing. And the book actually tells your personal story and chronicles the treatment of asylum seekers in this specific Manas detention center. But I think it certainly resonates beyond the prison walls of Manas, and especially in the context of the current international refugee crisis. So what would you say is the broader significance of your work?
Definitely, I think the book is not only about Manus Island, it's not only about the refugees there, you know, it's about different things, it's about colonialism and history of colonialism. I mean, the layer of the book, because the whole policy is on based of colonialism mentality, that allowed the government to banish innocent people to those islands. So definitely is different. And I think this book, it can be important these days because what the Australian government has done to refugees, it become like a model for many countries right now. So that's why I think it's important that we, more readers, read this book in Europe.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I hope with the translation we will get a wider audience for the issues that you speak about. But do you think that the writing of this work and getting this work out, and the work has received some prestigious literary awards in Australia, so do you think that you've managed to change people's views of refugees and asylum seekers?
It's really difficult to create change in Australia. You know, Australia's system is like that. So I don't claim that with writing a book, you are able to change that mentality and that system. But definitely has impact, but mostly on the refugees themselves to write.
And give them hope as well, I think. So No Friend But the Mountains has been hailed as a work of prison literature that's comparable to Gramsci's prison notebooks or Soyinka's The Man Died. But Serbian readers of your book, and in fact, broader readers in former Yugoslavia, will think of our Nobel Prize winner, Ivo Andrić, and his work, The Damned Yard. Are you familiar with that writer, Ivo Andrić, and any of his work?
No, I know her. I haven't read her works yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's homework for the publisher to get this book to you so that you can read it.
Yeah, okay. Because I cannot read English really very well, so it takes time for me to read books.
Okay.
That is difficult.
Can you tell us what you're currently working on?
Now I'm doing different work, so I'm doing some projects with people in Australia on a play, also on a movie. So I do all of those work and also some academic works, but my main work is just I'm writing a collection of short stories. Fiction, yeah.
So that's something to look forward to, perhaps.
Thank you.
Finally, the translation of your book into Serbian has been published in the publication series which showcases literature focusing on the issues of marginalization and oppression. Some of the translated titles include Zebald's Campo Santo and Carol Phillips's A Distant Shore. Is there a work which you think belongs to this series and which you would like to recommend for translation into Serbian?
Actually, I couldn't understand what you say exactly, but it's okay with me. Yeah. I think they're completely free to, include this work in any way they want.
Do you have any Kurdish writer that you might also recommend for translation or any of your favorite writers?
Yeah, definitely. I think the biggest Kurdish poet is Sherko Bikas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is really, I think his works are great. And many of his works are really translated to English. And also a big novelist, Sherzad Hassan.
Hassan, yeah.
And also Bakhtiar Ali. So Bakhtiar Ali, his work published mostly in Germany and has received very well. So there are really great Kurdish writers. So definitely I think those works should be translated to other languages. And already published in many languages, but now I think it's very important, because Kurdish people are first of all the literature and especially poetry is very strong in the history of Kurdistan and part of the identity, and also politically is important. Because we, as a nation, we as a people, we have been marginalized and we have been colonized by countries in Middle East. And that's why it's really important that we, at least we get independent through cultural words, I mean, that identity is important for Kurdish people because we have been struggling to keep our identity alive. So that's why I think it's really important that people read Kurdish writers' works.
I think you also address that issue in this book of memoirs of Kurdistan being between Iraq and Iran and the subtle colonial politics that's there, oppressing Kurdish culture. So I think that definitely the way that you've chosen both through journalism and through writing a book and short stories is a way to preserve identity. I hope your book gets more and more translated into more and more languages and gets wider audience. Thank you for your time, Behruz. It was absolute pleasure talking to you, and maybe we will see you at a Serbian literary festival.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Dr. Natasha Kampmark there, talking to Behruz Buchani, author of The No Friend But the Mountains. You're listening to SBS in Serbian. I'm Biljana Ristić. Želite da čujete još priča poput ove? Slušajte nas na Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify ili odakle god slušate podcast.